Welcome to The Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll & Mooring. I'm your host, Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. My co-host, David Robbins, will be back for the next recording. Because of the recent holidays, we're covering 3 weeks of material, and there have been some very interesting developments, so this may be slightly longer than 5 minutes. Since our last podcast, President Trump issued a memorandum announcing the creation of the White House Office of American Innovation. Among its other missions, OAI will focus on modernizing the technology of the federal government and reforming the procurement of IT for the Department of Veterans Affairs. We've tracked this for quite a few podcasts, but the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces, including the paycheck transparency requirements, are finally no more. They have been revoked, and that is welcome news for many contractors. The Second Circuit in United States ex rel Hayes v. Allstate Insurance Co. joined the D.C. Circuit and disagreed with the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Circuits in holding that a district court does not lack subject matter jurisdiction over a False Claims Act QI-TAM suit that may be barred by the first-to-file rule. The Second Circuit held that the first-to-file rule is non-jurisdictional in character because the FCA clearly states that other limitations on QI-TAM actions are jurisdictional, but does not clearly state so for the first-to-file rule. Accordingly, the court held that the rule bears only on whether the plaintiff has properly stated a claim, but, in bad luck for the relator, in a separate order, the Second Circuit affirmed dismissal under Rule 11 because the relator admitted that he did not have a factual basis to allege that all defendants had violated the MSP. In Continental Services Group v. United States, the Court of Federal Claims appears to have departed from some prior case law in deciding whether to restrain agency contract performance. Specifically, the Court of Federal Claims granted a bid protest request for a TRO halting contract performance, even though the court was unable to assess the protester's likelihood of success on the merits, and even though the targeted contracts were not those directly under protest. The protester initially went to GAO, which triggered an automatic stay, and then later withdrew that GAO protest and refiled at the Court of Federal Claims. The plaintiff then moved for a TRO at the court, arguing that the government had been undermining the automatic seek-a-stay by transferring work under the state contracts to other contractors. The court acknowledged the traditional four-factor analysis, including likelihood of success on the merits, and the court found that the other factors all weighed in favor of injunctive relief. But the court could not assess the second factor, likelihood of success on the merits, because the government had not yet produced the administrative record and parties had not briefed the merits of the protest, noting that no one factor is dispositive in the decision to grant or deny a TRO, and that the weakness of one factor may be overcome by the strength of the others, the court concluded that the weight of the other three factors was sufficient to grant the TRO. And on April 18, 2017, President Trump signed an executive order that supports his administration's Buy American and Hire American priorities. The executive order requires, among other things, stricter enforcement of domestic procurement preferences and the potential for renegotiation of certain trade treaties. With respect to Buy American, the executive order directs all agencies to review domestic preferences applicable to federal procurements or grants and propose policies to ensure maximum use of U.S. manufactured products and components. The Secretary of Commerce is to consolidate findings and make recommendations into a report that also assesses the impact that various WTO and FTA, or free trade agreements, have had on buying U.S.-made goods, with reports to follow on an annual basis. Effective more immediately, any public interest waivers should be made by the head of the agency involved, maximize utilization of domestic products and material, and consider whether any foreign cost advantage is the result of unfair trade practices. Signaling the potential for increased enforcement efforts, the executive order requires every agency to scrupulously monitor, enforce, and comply with Buy American laws. With respect to Hire American, the executive order directs the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Labor, as well as certain other agencies, to propose reforms to ensure that H-1B visas are awarded to the most skilled or highest paid petition beneficiaries, and that the immigration system is administered to protect the interests of U.S. workers, including through the prevention of fraud, waste, and abuse. This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions about these items, I can be reached at 202-624-2807, and David can be reached at 202-624-2627. Thank you for joining us.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll and Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.